verse 3 through 14. Does everybody know what that chapter is? Matthew 24. 24. So this is not my normal message today, okay? That's not my normal message today, and so bear with me. There you go. We want God's word today. And this is his word to his disciples. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives. Man, I tell you what, you remember being there, Beth? Mount of Olives, it was raining that day. We looked over and seen the Eastern Gate. We're getting ready to take the track down to the valley. What a sight. What a sight. This is where and this is where his disciples were. And they're talking to Jesus, and we were at that point in that spot or that area, not for sure where it was at, but we were in the vicinity, right? Because we was out on the Mount of Olives and looking at the Eastern Gate. And it says, now as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when we will see these things. And right before that, he was talking about the destruction of the temple. In verse 4, he said, and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. The Passion Translation says, this is how the birth pains of the new age will begin. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will be betrayed. And will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. The title of the message is The Gathering Storm as we prepare for the end times. The Gathering Storm as we prepare for the end times. Like I said, this is not my normal type of message, and I felt the Lord wanted me to bring this up, and I don't know where you guys stand and what you understand of where we're at today. Does everybody know where we're at today in Matthew 24? Where? We are at the end of the end of time. So if you would look at it, we're at the wars and rumors of wars. That's where we're at. Right? How many have been seeing Ezekiel 38? You have here these prophets, and they're all talking about Ezekiel 38 and 39. We're not there yet. And that is the end time battle, and we're not there yet. We haven't got there yet. We're in the place of wars and rumors of wars across the nation. Okay, across the world is where we're at today. There's a lot of things that we understand. There's a lot of things we don't understand. And there's a lot of things that we could study to learn better, to be good Bereans, to be good studiers of the word. But you know, the rapture and all that stuff, and we just quite don't understand it enough. But we're learning and we're growing. So I'm gonna talk about Ezekiel 38, and let's just go ahead and read Ezekiel 38 while we're here. Let's just do that. We're gonna read the word today. How many read the prophets? Very many people read the prophets? There's sometimes it's hard to understand, isn't it? In Ezekiel 38, it's Gog and allies attack Israel is what the title is. And it says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog. Gog, what is Gog? It's not a place. It's a leader. Okay? And the land of Magog, that is a place. And the prince of Rosh, and Mehesh, and Tubal, Meshech. And Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, Thus says the Lord. You know, when you hear people prophesy, you don't hear them say, Thus saith the Lord, very often. Not like they did when they in the Bible, when it says, Thus saith the Lord, it was Thus saith the Lord, because that is what the Lord said. Some people that are prophesying are not saying that because they're really not for sure if they heard the Lord. Okay? When you know, when Ezekiel heard the word of the Lord, he knew it was God's voice. He knew it was God saying to him. That's why he could say, Thus saith the Lord. A lot of times prophecy, not for sure if you're aware, but a lot of times prophecy is mixed with your character. It's mixed with your emotions. It's mixed with all that and how you interpretate scripture and how you understand hearing the voice of the Lord. And so people give prophecy out of what they think they heard. Okay, but Ezekiel gave prophecy. He said, and not very many times did they say, Thus saith the Lord. And he's saying, Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh and Mehesh. How do you say that? Meshech. Meshech and Tubal. Verse 4, I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaw, and lead you out with all your armies, horses, and horsemen, and splendidly clothe a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are all with them, all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north, and all its troops. Many people are with you. Prepare yourselves and be ready. And you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be guards for them. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. So people in Israel have been brought back. People from all nations, Israel people, Jewish people, have been brought back to the land. Is that true? They're still moving there, right? We talked about there was like 16 million Jews across the earth. There's only like a million. That was Christian, million believers. Anyway. But here's what it says. It says they will dwell in peace. Did you catch that? They have been desolate and were brought out in all nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Does Israel dwell safely today? Have they dwelt safely since they regained Israel back in Jerusalem? No. So this prophecy has to be for a later time, right? Ezekiel 38 has to be for a later time. It's not now. They're not dwelling in safety and peace right now. Verse 9, you will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. This is groups of people that are going to come against Israel. They're coming against Israel financially or whatever's going on in the land and the time. And then God's going to put something in their mind to come against them. He's going to draw them in like a hook, right? He's going to hook them in the jaw and pull them down. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that all thoughts will arise in your minds, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says Gog, is a person, it's a ruler, okay? Thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, you will know it. Then you will come from the places out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company of and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I hollowed, or I know me that I am hollowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he who whom I have spoken in the former days of my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? And then it says, and it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the fields, all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every waste shall fall, every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many people who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. That's a lot of things coming into the earth all at a moment, coming down on a people that are coming up against Israel. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Up until that point, I believe the rapture's already happened and the church is gone. I believe it. I lean more towards that now today than I did 5 weeks ago. But I believe, if you see a picture of Ezekiel 38, I don't know if you could pull up a picture of Ezekiel 38 on the internet. It shows you Cush. It shows you all the nations that's going to be around them. Just type in maps of Ezekiel 38. It'll bring it up. Where's the United States on the map? It's not there. When we look at the battle that's going on right now in Israel, when we look at what's going on, can you see anybody coming up against Israel as long as we're with them? I can't. I can't see it. I can't see that the power, what we're demonstrating in the Middle East today against Iran, how can anybody come up against Israel as long as we're strong? As long as we are who we are today, there's no one going to come up against Israel. Can't do it. But if the United States Army is not around, if the leadership of the United States is not for Israel, and we stay out of this next war that'll come, but it says he will put a hook in the jaw and bring them down, right? It's already established in the Word. It's already established in the Word. Who's going to come? Russia. If you take Jerusalem and you go due north, you run through Turkey, you go into Russia, and what is there? Moscow. Gog, Magog. It's all right there. And there's Cush, Libya, and all that area down south of them. And Iran. How is Iran? Now think about this. Iran is part of this coalition of people that's going to come against Israel. Now we say we're living in the end times, and we are. We're at the last seconds of the end times. The rapture could happen at any moment. I believe it could happen at any moment. There's still some things got to come before the end of the earth can happen, before Jesus comes on the earth. There's still things that has to happen. Our financial states have to, our finances, our fiat money has to be gone. There has to be a way that a ruler can rule over, maybe it's cryptocurrency, maybe it's that type of currency, but there's going to have to be a ruler that can say, they're not going to be able to buy. But we're not there yet. We're traveling there very, very rapidly. We are moving exponentially that way. Guarding, we need to guard our hearts, guard our minds, and guard ourselves, because the rapture could happen any time when we want to be ready. But I want to tell you, don't be afraid. Don't have no fear of what's coming. Don't have no fear of Ezekiel 38 and 39. God will take care of you. That's why I say the church is raptured away and raptured out, because there's no way that I can see the United States. It doesn't even say United States is coming up against them. Nowhere does it say it. But look at the devastation of Iran. And so what we've done to Iran today, we've took out their drones, their power. We've taken out everything. How are they going to rebuild within a year, or 2 years, or 3 years? Maybe 7 years. The 7-year tribulation. Maybe they can rebuild. That's why I'm saying China, Russia are going to help Iran. So there's a lot of stuff that's got to happen. Our financial system has to be depleted or go away. But anyway, we are not living in Ezekiel 38, 39, but that is the end time battle that is coming. So signs of the times. In Matthew 24, 3 through 14, it says birth pains. Jesus describes wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes as the beginning of the birth pains. Have you really seen, we're seeing earthquakes. Right? We're seeing them today. We're not seeing the ones that tear down the mountains. We're not seeing the ones that tear down the high places yet. That the fish of the sea will know. The animals will know. We haven't seen those catastrophic earthquakes yet, but they're coming. These are the birth pains that are coming. This is where we are living right now. These are not the end in itself, but indicators that the time is drawing near. Global instability. The current escalation tensions involving Iran, Israel, and other nations, other nations are similar to Ezekiel 38, and they're bringing these nations together. There is coalitions coming together as we see that Russia has supplied some items to Iran, and China has supplied some items to Iran, and they were defeated. The United States defeated the things that China had given. We went right past from ground to air, air defense. So we just blew right past them. We blew them up. But there is a coalition gathering as we speak. There's a coalition coming together. Deception and heartlessness. Jesus warned of false prophets misleading many, the increase of lawlessness, which causes most people's love to grow cold. Are you seeing that today in people? Christians are growing cold. Are you as on fire as you was when you first was saved? Do you still have that tenacity to change the world, to love the people that you're in contact with? Like, man, I just had this experience. Maybe you went on a mass, and man, I just had this experience, and man, you need to go. You need to go on this Emmaus walk, or you need to come to church because God is showing up and he's changing my life. Do we have that same tenacity and fire? What was the word you said today? Fire in your, you said you hold the candle and God supply the fire, right? Yeah. Well, there's a fire of God moving in the land. The enemy's trying to douse the candle out. And he is. He's dousing the candle. He's trading things in the church for emotionalism. You know what I mean? The Satan wants you to be moved by emotionalism. Songs. Friendships. Just emotionalism. That stirs your emotions, but doesn't stir your spirit. As long as you feel good when you leave today, it's okay. You know, how many have felt conviction in the last 2 months? Have you ever felt any conviction on your heart? If you're not feeling conviction, man, you better start to think about where you're at. Are you in a place of depravity? If you're not feeling conviction, are you just perfect? Honestly, if we're not feeling conviction, then the Holy Spirit's not working on us. Because we are living in a land, we're living in an era where information is coming out so fast. Jeffrey Epstein and that files and all that stuff that's going on and all the higher up people, the leadership of the world that is involved in so much corruption and so much demonic things, rituals. I don't know what's true and what's not true, because there's so much stuff out there you just don't know until truth comes out. But the deception of the land, people are growing cold. I mean, we would have never heard of this stuff 25 years ago, 10 years ago. It was going on, but we wouldn't have heard it. Even our young girls and young boys in their own homes are being destroyed by daddies, by uncles, by grandparents. They're being destroyed. Why? We're hearing more about it today because it's more open. But in the times past, when I was in school, it was zip. Nobody said a word. They was embarrassed. They thought they were wrong. They were told different things about, you know, the daddies or the uncles would say, I'm going to kill your family, or it's going to be devastating, your family will be destroyed, and all this stuff if you tell anyone. But God is opening a door for healing for people. There's some in this sanctuary today, and there's some online today that have been abused by their daddy or their uncle or brothers. And it's all over our school systems. The depravity of the people in the earth is going to get even worse than it is today. And can you imagine that? Depravity, that lawlessness will be like it's okay. We're seeing it today as young girls are getting stabbed on trains and nobody's making a big deal about it. A guy was wielding a hatchet the other day and hit someone in the head with a hatchet. And it's like it's no big deal. It's going to get worse. But there will be raping ladies in the streets, and people will walk by. We ain't there yet. But as you watch, we're getting there. We're getting there closer and closer and closer. You have these, we talked about influence, was it last week or whatever it was? We talked about influence, and we have these influencers that go out and they put on these scenarios for, oh, they're like, they'll have a lady and they're act like they're trying to pull them away, or kids are trying to pull them away, and people will hear what's going on, the chaos, and just keep on walking by. You will have some people that will say, hold it, no, and take the little child away, or help the lady that's being kind of abused. They fake the abuse, but people are walking by. This is what you're seeing in today's world that's going to be worse in the next years coming. The prophecy of Ezekiel, the 38, the northern invasion, God's hand in history. Here, Ezekiel 38 describes a coalition led by Gog, which is a person, a leader, okay, of the northern, of a tribe, of an army. It could be Turkey, Russia, Iran. That's all part of them. That moves against and reestablish peaceful Israel. We are not at a peaceful Israel yet. So somewhere Israel has to come into a place of peace. Yeah, the Bible tells us when you hear peace, 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 right? 1 Thessalonians 5. So here's what you got to realize. There is not peace in Israel today. But I'm going to tell you what, after this war here, you're going to start to hear peace. After this raid that's going on, the Strait of Hormuz has reduced the oil flow through it today. Eventually, that's going to pick back up. But how quickly can the oil flow, if the oil flow stops out of the Strait of Hormuz, how quickly can the world economy go down the tubes? Rapidly. Rapidly. I think God is orchestrating a lot of stuff. Argentina, for us to go into Argentina and take this supply of oil that China and Russia is getting, we just cut off a third or more of their oil supply from Argentina. You don't think that hurt China and Russia? I'm telling you it did. We have access to the oil in Argentina now today. Now we shut off the Strait of Hormuz. And now the oil reduction for China and Russia has escalated where they're hardly getting any. What do you think that's going to do to the leadership of China and Russia? Russia's in war right now. It's going to cause the monetary system to fall apart. God is orchestrating things for the end times, and it's coming rapidly, more rapidly than you think. God's judgment on the nations, God declares that he will bring this alliance together against Jerusalem, but not for their success. Instead, it is for his glory. This alliance, this last end time battle, is going to be for his glory, not for Jerusalem, not for any people. It's going to come when he comes down, and that last moment that he comes down, that the earth quakes and he steps foot on the Mount of Olives, all nations, all people on the earth are going to know that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That means there'll be people on the earth that will not really recognize him as Lord, but will recognize him as Lord at that moment. It's going to be unbelievable. And I believe that the church is going to come back with him. And we're going to see that. God will have a divine intervention. God will intervene directly to destroy the nations when they are attacking or provoking his sovereign. He's going to destroy them completely. As the Bible tells us that they will turn their swords on each other. And the blood's going to be deep. You can't even fathom when you look over the Megiddo Valley. And the valley, and they say the blood is at a horse's bridle. That's this tall. The valley is pretty good size. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. The Bible also tells us it's going to be 7 years for the people that are left in the earth that didn't get destroyed by the earthquakes and fires and devastation, the pestilence and the disease. There'll be people that will still be living in the earth that will see Jesus' return. It says that for 7 years, they will burn the artillery and all the stuff from the enemy. They'll use it for heat. Burn it all. 7 years. Here's where we need to be. Call to readiness. Matthew 24, 36 to 46. I didn't give you this, but it's Matthew 24, 36 to 46. Jesus is still talking in Matthew 24, and he's still talking to his disciples. And here's where we need to be. Here's where it's great to come to church. It's great to walk in these doors and come and worship the Lord and hear a word. It might change your life or it might not. It will change your life if you want it to. Worship will change your life if you want it to. But it's only if you want it to. The call today is There's 60,000 people or 65,000 people in Terre Haute, Indiana today. And there is probably not 10,000 people that go to church in Terre Haute, Indiana. So there's 40,000, 45,000 people that are hanging out, not going to a place of worship. And that's probably a high number of 10,000. There are just say it's 10,000. There's 45,000 people in our vicinity that are lost and going to hell. Do you care? What are we doing about it as a church and as a body of Christ, about all the churches? What are we doing about it? Are we getting the word out to the people that we can get the word out to? A call to readiness is to be prepared and ready to bring people back into place of salvation. Today's world is, we have children that are being raised today not in church. Have never heard the gospel. There's people in our city that doesn't really even know, they only know Jesus as a cuss word. They have no clue of atonement. They have no clue of the blood. They have no clue of his body. They have no clue of the covenant that God has made with man. None whatsoever. How are they going to know if no one tells them? How are they going to know if no one is excited and a fire in their heart to share the gospel of God across the nation or across our city? How are they going to know if we are just sitting on our hands with no fire in our spirit? No fire in our belly. How are they going to know? How is our kids in the high schools going to know if that God is real, that he can change your life? It doesn't matter if you've been abused. It doesn't matter if you've been in this oppressed state. God can change your life through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 24, 36 to 46. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Kind of like the Jewish wedding. And we're gonna talk about that eventually, Jewish wedding. But no one knows the hour. Not even us, not the angels, not even the Son of Man knows the time his return. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. And he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? He will do that. It will take care of you. Verse 46, blessed is a servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Are you doing what you're called to do? Just think when you stand before God at the Bema seat. Actually, you'll just know. You will just know. Just know. It would be so good to know now of what I missed. So good to know now what I missed. So I would not miss it tomorrow. So I would not miss it the next day. If God really changed my life and I won't share it with anybody, what good was it? That I got free? That I made it to heaven? But my eternal abode is here in the earth. That's where we're all going to come back, right? We talked about that before, that we're not spending eternity in heaven. Our eternity is in the earth. The new heavens and new earth. You only go to heaven for a short time, the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to return with Christ and rule on the earth. Watchfulness. Jesus states that no one knows the day or hour of his return. This is what this, listen to this. It demands a constant alertness rather than fear. Right? It's not fearful to know, because we've read the book. We've read Revelations. We've read it, because the Bible tells us if you haven't read Revelations, it says you will be blessed if you do. So read it if you haven't read it. But even if you don't understand it, just read it. Eat it. Man, it's so hard to eat stuff you don't like. Just tell you, it is. But just read it. Even though you might not like the taste of it, read it. There's some scriptures in here you might not like the taste of it. You might want to say, oh, God, I don't know. That convicts my spirit. That's a good thing. Conviction is a good thing. But don't be fearful, but be in alertness and being ready. Be faithful in your actions. The servant is not merely waiting, but he is found doing the Lord's work, preaching, teaching, and living in holiness. Who's living in holiness today? Is the church living in holiness today? I don't want to be too long, but I've talked about compromise before, and we're in a place where the church, I blanket the church over the world. There's compromise in the church. We allow things in the church. I'm sorry. Me as a person compromises what I believe. Me as a person compromises what I do outside of the building. When I come in the building, oh, David, man, I've been so good. I've been reading Matthew 24. I've been reading Acts 2. I've been reading Romans 8. You know? I've been doing all this stuff. And then on the outside, when I don't see you, sonny, I've been doing things I shouldn't have been doing. But it's okay, because I'm reading God's word. It's okay. I've been reading Acts or Romans 8. I've been reading it. That's going to change my life. It will if I allow it in me. But if I just read the words of Romans 8, it will trigger something in me. But I have to choose to walk it out. See, the compromise in the church is, it's okay to listen to these songs that are really not even anything. Or do I listen to songs that change me? What do I watch on my TV that changes my life? Am I listening to today we have messages that I can go and just scroll through message after message. I mean, pastor after pastor. YouTube video after YouTube video. TikTok after TikTok. Pastors are putting things online. I don't know if they're true. I don't know if they're who they are. I don't know where their life has been. But there are some really good ones out there. Are they changing your life? Are they changing your life? Lance Johnson is one that I would say watch him. Bishop Lance Johnson, they call him. Lance Johnson. You want to be convicted of you want to be convicted? Watch him. He's a revivalist. He's a guy that is pouring out. And I tell you what, he's calling men and women to the altars. He's calling them into a place of repentance. That word is not in the church. Repentance. What did John the Baptist come preaching? Yeah, repent. Repent for the kingdom of heaven. Repent. We don't preach repent. Because why? Because we're not having conviction. Because I'm compromising in my spirit, and the enemy will lie to you. The demonic spirits will lie to you and say, it's okay. It's okay. Because you've been doing it long enough, it seems okay. We've been talking about Oreos in our Kaneo 3 group. Tabby can't have Oreos no more. Just to let you know. I don't want Oreos either. But the cream inside the Oreo is synthetic. It's not even real food. But it's synthetic. But if I keep eating Oreos, you like Oreos? Probably eat a ton of them, don't you? I did. I ate a ton of them. You get them down in the basement, Brian. Right? We get them down in the basement. Double stuffed, triple stuffed Oreos. I know it. Listen to me. If you continue to eat those Oreo cookies, your body's not going to recognize it for a while. Same with your spirit. You get so grown accustomed to that your spirit, it falls away really, really, I mean, it falls away really, really slowly. But when you look back at your plumb line, you have gotten so far off. It's like with the Oreo cookie. You don't really notice yourself growing until it's too late. Right? And it's not the Oreo cookie I ate before I went to bed last night, right? It's not the Oreo cookie, but it is the Oreo cookie. Both. It's the ice cream before you go to bed, right? But we compromise as Christians. We compromise what we see. We compromise of staying home, not coming to church. We compromise of not being changed by a message that we hear. We compromise that, oh, is he done yet? It's 20 till. Is he done yet? I'll tell you what, there's been some people standing in his pulpits preaching really good messages. Convicting messages. Is there change in your life, or are we still compromising? We talked about influence last week. What did you change in what you're being influenced by? 80% of the people didn't change anything. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know, but that's just what the Lord put in my spirit. 80% of you didn't change anything about what you were influenced by. Zoop. Who do you listen to on your podcast? What's influencing your life? What changes your character? When I come against, I've been in here praying, no one in here, and I can get loud when I do that. And I've been fighting the darkness and the principalities and powers and rulers of this region. And I feel the power. I feel a calling on God. And then when a couple weeks come by, you feel that oppression of the enemy because he's fighting back in a way. What's changed in my life? What influences me to fight against the enemy? Because I want to see thousands and thousands of people come to the Lord. I want to see him moved by the Holy Spirit. What's changed in my life? What's changed in your life? That's just being prepared. How are you preparing today? So as we finish, I'm just going to close here. The convergence of global conflict in Ezekiel 38 and the signs of the times, of the end times in Matthew 24 should not cause panic in your life. Not at all. But rather, is a call to be sober, watchful, and focused on the gospel. The ultimate message is that Christ is coming back. He's coming back. And he will establish his kingdom. And believers are urged to stay faithful to the end. So, 80% of the people that have never changed their influence in this house today, online as well. Are you still going to heaven? Most likely, if Jesus comes today. But if Jesus tarries, and the rapture tarries 5 more years from now, I don't know. But if it tarries, and you continue to be influenced by something that is not godly, where are you going to be at in 5 years? What I can notice is within 1 month, I can be influenced by something and change the aspect of my thought process. Jimmy has a podcast. They have a podcast, and people are being influenced by what they say. How is he changing the people's lives as they listen to their podcast? You have a podcast each and every day if you go to work. You have a podcast each and every day when you go and communicate with someone in our community. You might not be online or on the air, but you are in the air because the words that you speak are life or death. You either bring them into the Lord or you're not. You don't have to be a Bible thumper. I'm telling you, I don't like Bible thumpers. I don't. I don't like somebody coming and thumping the Bible at me. I don't like it. But if you want to come and talk to me, change me by the influence of your life. Change me by the influence of your life. Then I can relate to that. But if you want to thump somebody with the Bible and all this scripture, you don't know where they've came from. They might have had a daddy that was a pastor, because we have a lot of pastors' kids that fall away from the church, is because they were thumped by the Bible, thumped by the Word, thumped by videos, thumped to thump and thump, and all of a sudden they said, I don't want none of that because your life did not demonstrate what you was telling me that this Word says. And I don't want none of it if there's no true change in your life, because the Holy Spirit has got to change who you are. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. If there's no Holy Spirit movement in your life, how are you sealed by the presence of, how are you sealed by God?